Come on up. Come on. Here we go. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. So this is the way the game goes. They only have two questions. The first one is what do you typically complain about? What do you complain about most? And then the bottom one is, when was the last time you did it? And they have a few options that they can pick on that. So we're going to start with Chrissy. And first, you're going to guess what he said first. And we'll go from there.
She's already got this.
Okay. Ready? Okay. So what does Kevin complain about most?
Getting out the door in time.
Being on time to church. Yes, yes. Point. Okay, when was the last time you did it?
This morning.
This morning! That was brilliant!
You notice I did put a dot on all of them because
okay.
it's
It happens a lot, so this morning was just the most recent. All right, so what did Chrissy say?
I don't help her enough around the house.
Aww. Okay, and then when was the last time she said that?
This week.
Okay, and she said?
That makes me sad.
Oh, kids, that makes her happier. Okay. And this morning. Okay. So you didn't get any of those points, but you did get how many points? 2 points. Okay. 2 points. Okay. So there's room to win here. I'm just saying. All right. So Ramsey, let's start with you. What do you think that Crystal said was the thing she complains about most?
Probably me cleaning the kitchen.
Okay. And when was the last time?
Last week.
Last week. Okay. And the answer was? Go ahead and tell us.
Being sleepy.
Being sleepy. You being sleepy.
Yes.
Me. All right. She complains about herself. That's really healthy. Okay, good. And this morning.
This morning.
Wasn't during church, though, right?
No.
No, before church. Okay. Okay, so what do you think Ramsey said?
Lack of money.
Lack of money. And when was the last time?
This week.
This week. Okay. What'd you say, Ramsey?
I said money.
Money, all right, they got that one, and when?
I put this past month.
Oh, close. So you got, how many did they get? Two?
One.
Okay, so you guys had two? And you guys had two? Okay, I'm going to have to go get two more mugs. I have two mugs, you both get a mug, grab it on your way out. Let's give them a big hand. Those are your prizes right there. So let's just real quickly, what were some things you came up with in the end of your life, what would you like to be true? What are you looking for?
No regrets.
General topic. Okay, good. Anything else? Number one's done. Number two, anything? What'd you come up with?
I just want to be known as a good mother.
Okay, known as a good mother.
Now that I'm 40 and I have to start over again.
Right. Very good. Anything else?
That I love people well.
That you love people well.
Closer to God.
Purpose. That you had purpose. Rowdy balcony?
Purpose-driven life.
Thank you, Rick Warren. Jesus! Yes, it's the good answer. It's the good answer. Now, I want you to think about, okay, what is it that you want to be true at the end of your life? And what would it mean if that wasn't true? How would that feel? What would that cost you if it wasn't true? And then what will it take for you to actually get there? To have Jesus in your life? To be more loving, to be more caring, to be a better mom, to be all these things that we really want to be true by the time we're done with our life, what's it really going to take for us to get there? In the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about four things that will totally get in your way. They will totally take you off course and will keep you from becoming the person you want to be. There are also things that when we do them, we really break the heart of God. They all have to do with our mouth. Today, we're going to talk about complaining. It's something that we all do. It's habitual. It's instructed. It's what we've observed other people doing, so we just do what they did. Next week, we'll talk about criticizing. The following week, we'll talk about lying. And then finally, we'll talk about gossip, which is kind of all of them rolled together in one nice, neat little package. The bottom line is these things, we don't realize how devastating they are to us. So this is what I want you to do. On your chair, you should see a little blue bracelet. Okay, if you have petite wrists and need a smaller one, there's a little bag of smaller ones up front that also work for children if you'd like to take some home and play this game with your children as well. But this is what I've noticed. We don't notice. When I think of myself, I told my staff, I would love to just be able to videotape what we're going to talk about today and sit on the front row because I need to take notes on what I'm talking about. It is so easy for us to complain. And in reality, okay, how many know there's a behavioral modification technique where you take a rubber band and every time you mess up, you go like that and hurt yourself? That is so sadistic. My staff thought that's what we were doing. It's like, no, this isn't behavior modification. This is just awareness. So actually what I want you to do is harder. You have to take it off every time you complain this week and put it on the other wrist. What a pain. Oh, was that complaining? Oh, I'm sorry. So every time you complain, just to make yourself aware, you just switch wrists. Right? So in the process of doing that, how many of us think we might notice ourselves complaining this week? This is not what changes our behavior. Awareness is a first step. It's I think, the step we're missing. And we'll play this again next week and the following week and the following week, but with different topics. So if you complain next week, you're totally good to go. Next week is about criticizing, right? But in the process of reminding ourselves that we're doing this, there's some things that we just need to be aware of, because we're breaking the heart of God, and we're actually keeping our own heart from being, allowing us to be the person we really, really, really want to be. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let me pray for us, and we'll jump in. Lord God, you are the one that changes our hearts. But there are times we're not even aware of what we're doing. And we don't realize the significance and the depth of the damage we're doing to our own hearts when we allow our mouth to just run wild. So, Lord God, I pray this week, as we study complaining, that you will really be able to break into our consciousness, our awareness, help us to see what we're doing and to realize how damaging it is, and to really make a commitment to live our life in a way that honors you and causes us to flourish. Lord God, for all that this week will entail, we bless you and thank you in advance. Because of you, we have life. And our hearts are so appreciative. As we prepare our hearts for Easter, we just want to know that the resurrection is about us having new life in you. So be with us, help us, and we will bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We are unaware that complaining is a lot of things that we don't want it to be. And the first is this: complaining is an evil inclination. You say, well, that's kind of weird words. What is that? It actually comes from rabbinic teaching. You know, back when Paul and the apostles, as they're writing the New Testament, are talking about how when we're in the flesh, we act ways that are offensive to God, Judaism had a different way of saying it. They called it an evil inclination. It's a yetzer hara, and it's a misuse of God-given desires. So a really good example of a yetzer hara is this. God gave us hunger, and we created gluttony. It is a wrong use of a gift that God gave us. There'll be more than a few of us, because last service I got rather busy after the service, kind of helping people process their stuff. But your complaining comes from some good things. There are good gifts that God has put in you. For some of you, about a third of the people in the room, you have a really good gift to see a problem. But what happens if you see a problem, but then all you do is complain about it? Right? That's not good. That's an evil inclination. As believers, we have a sense of what God really wants and what's highest and best. And yet if we take that and use that to complain, that's a misuse of something that God has given us. So in the end, a yetzer hara is an evil inclination. And that is what complaining is. Philippians 2:14. This is our main text, so we'll be here for a while. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, Paul here, is he saying we should be proactive or reactive? He's saying proactive. Do this on purpose. Initiate here. Don't just sit around and wait for this to happen to you. It's not going to just happen to you. It's something that you actually have to do something about yourself. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Our word today, complaining. Do what you do without having a complaining spirit, a complaining attitude. Now, is this about being in conflict or avoiding conflict? Oftentimes we complain because we're trying to avoid conflict. I'm not going to really talk to Gwen about this issue that we have between us. I'm just going to go over in the other room and complain about it. Right? In the end, this may actually cause conflict, not complaining. Actually being proactive and doing what you need to do instead of just, you know, talking about it. Now, we're all on a journey. When you think about people that complained in the Bible, who comes to mind first? The Israelites, right? They were the stiff-necked people that just moaned and groaned and bellyached all the time. They were constantly complaining. Right now, who heard them the whole time they were doing it? God. Who hears it the whole time you're complaining? God. There's no way for you to grumble and mumble without God being aware of it. Now, was he happy with them or was he less than happy? Less than happy, right? So they're on a journey. Paul will talk about in 1 Corinthians some of what they should have learned and what we need to learn by watching them. Now, these things took place as examples for us. In other words, the Old Testament wasn't like, well, God was just waiting around for Jesus to finally come. And then, you know, that's really where it kicks in. No, the Old Testament has a lot of value, but a lot of it is for us to learn what happens when you're not filled with the Spirit of God and you're doing it on your own, right? So all of that is now given to us in the Old Testament so that we can see them as examples, that we might not desire evil, that we might not get into a yetzer hara, where it's an evil inclination, as they did. The point is they went way out of bounds, and a lot of it was because they weren't really aware of all that God would want from them and for them, right? So here's his examples. Do not be idolaters. How many of us knew that would be a part of the list? How many knew that's a big problem that Israel had? Golden calf, just all these other things that they made more important than God. Yeah, idolatry, big issue. No surprises there. Indulge in sexual immorality. Not any big surprises there. Kind of knew that was coming. That they put Christ to the test. Now that's interesting because was he even there? And the answer to the question would be yes. Right? But as they're rejecting God, they're rejecting the Son of God. And putting God to foolish tests is what they did, and quite honestly is what we do too often, but that's not today's message. And then in verse 10 it says that we shouldn't do what? Grumble. That is an evil inclination. That complaining, grumbling, murmuring, all of that is something that God doesn't want for us. Now, verse 12 is the point. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Israel thought, man, we're God's people. We're all that. Doesn't really matter how we do this. We're God's people. We're favored. We're blessed. We're the good guys. Everybody else is the bad guys. And they thought they were standing in God, and then they fell. So it's easy while we're here to go, complaining, not that big a deal. How many, really, seriously, it was a part of your family rhythm growing up. You know, you get home at the end of the day, what do? You complain to everybody else about everything that happened that day. It's a big gripe session. That's what we do. Bottom line is, it may be natural. It may come to us easily. We may have even been instructed in how to do it well. It just doesn't make it okay. So first, complaining is an evil inclination. Second, it's a thief. Now, if somebody moves into your house and you find out they're a thief, do you let them stay? Years ago, Becca and Hannah were counselors at a Christian camp up in Michigan, and one of their fellow counselors who worked with the handicapped kids, so he's like the special forces of camp counselors, right? I mean, they go through extra training. They have to be really good at what they do to work with kids with special needs. It's just they're cut above the rest, right? So they call us and they said, hey, our friend wants to move to Orlando. What do you think about letting him just, now they didn't live at our house anymore. They were off at college. But what do you think about letting him come and stay and live with us? With you, us, you, right? While we're off at college, let him come. And it's like, yeah, he's your friend. Great. So he came down, he moved in. We treated him like a son. we did everything we could to help him move forward with his life. We used to do the Dave Ramsey envelope system where you keep money in an envelope so that you, when you budget, you can't spend what you don't have, right? We used to keep those envelopes in a kitchen cabinet. Over time, our friend realizes it's there. So one day, we got home. He wasn't home. And the cupboard was empty. He never came back, which made the problem kind of go away. Because who on purpose would let a thief live in their house? But we do it all the time when we grumble. Grumbling is a thief, and it steals from you your identity in Christ. Hear what this text is going to tell us. You were created in God to be like Jesus, to be that kind of person, to shine as a light in the universe, and to be very different from everybody around you. And yet when we complain, we let that steal from us our identity. Do all things without grumbling and or disputing. Now, is that internal or external? Just to be clear here. When you're complaining, is that an internal reality or an external reality? And the answer was, yes, it's both. So just saying, well, I don't complain, I just keep it to myself. No, you're still doing it. You're just doing it on the inside. And guess what? God hears that too. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent. This is a part of our identity in Christ. That we have been cleansed by him. That we are pure. It steals our purity when we complain. And innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So how many like to look up at night and watch the stars? My wife is one of her favorite, absolute favorite things to do. When my son was a Marine and you have those night vision goggles, he said 2/3 of the stars are infrared. Is that what it is that the night vision goggles pick up? So basically, when you're looking up at the sky with night vision goggles on and there are no ground lights or street lights, right? Think mud huts, Afghanistan, right? Mud huts, no lights. And you look up into the heavens with night vision goggles on, it is, he says, it's like one huge diamond. It's just glistening. There are so many more stars than we even see with our filters that we have for eyes. We are to be that in the world. We are to be lights that shine in the world. Now, our identity in Jesus. Are we more than conquerors? Are we overcomers? Or are we complainers? Can you be a complainer and an overcomer? Most likely not. Can you be the person God wants you to be if you're complaining? Because what is complaining? It's what victims do. It's what powerless people do. It's not what overcomers do. You know, are we a part of the problem or part of the solution? In Christ, we are part of the solution. And if we're complaining, we're becoming a part of the problem. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, or what the Jewish rabbis would have said, a yetzer hara, an evil inclination. But through love, serve one another. We are to be different. We're not to let our evil inclination win the day. We are to serve one another in love. Now, it's big to say, okay, got it. Complaining is evil. Anything that goes against what God wants for us, by the way, is by definition evil, right? Anything that opposes God, evil. So it's evil, got it. It's a thief, got it. Let's wrap up and go home. No, there is more. We are unaware that complaining is in the end a vision issue. It's a lack of purpose. Several people said, they wanted a purpose-driven life. They wanted a life of purpose. Complaining steals from us a life of purpose. Philippians 2:14-15 again. But all things, do all things without grumbling or disputing, shine as lights in the world. Now, as Paul is saying this, what's his tone? Is he being harsh? No. He's being rather compassionate. He understands what we struggle with. And he's saying, you need to be aware, you need to not do this. For us, we go, is it even possible to not complain? Really? That's why you have these. Because if you knew, you would stop, wouldn't you? Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 1 is Habakkuk complaining. You can go back and read it. But it's, I mean, the complaint boils down to a phrase from Psalms. How long, O Lord? Anybody ever been there? I was going to write a song once called How Long, O Lord? But David beat me to it. There's a whole bunch of them in the book of Psalms. How long, O Lord, do I have to put up with the imperfection of this world? All the evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty things that are happening around me. How long until you're going to do something about it? How many have been there? I had a long conversation with somebody after first service who is right in the middle of that right now. It's like, how long, O Lord, is this going to go on? That's Habakkuk's complaint. So he begins chapter 2 with this. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. So Habakkuk chapter 1, complain, 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 complain. Chapter 2, he's using the metaphor of those who would guard the city at night. I'm going to be at my post, at my tower, watching out for the evil that is around us and waiting to hear from my commander-in-chief what I should do next. And God, I'm tired of complaining. I'm tired of asking. I am now looking for you to do something. So God responds. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. Now this thing is brilliant. This answer and response is absolutely brilliant. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Now the problem is the Babylonians are getting ready to be a judgment on Israel for their sin. So when he says that he may run, there's part of me that goes, as in get out of Dodge, as in run, as in the bad guys are coming. I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know. But this is what he's saying. You need to see what I'm doing. You need to know my plan. You need to know what I'm about. Because what I'm about is in the face of all this other horrible stuff that's happening, but there's a purpose that I have in all that's getting ready to happen. And you need to see it, and then you need to write it plainly. Sorry, I didn't have like email back then, so you had to write on tablets, a little bit, you know, antiquated, but still gets the job done. Write it down so people can know what is about to happen and what my purpose is in all of it, right? So, you complain about your finances. No show of hands here, but some of us do. Complain about our finances. The question's pretty simple. So what's the vision? What is it that we're actually going for with our finances? What is it? And again, let me say it the way I had it in here. People who complain lack vision, but more specifically, they lack God's vision. So what's God's vision for your finances? What is it that he's trying to accomplish in you and through you? But knowing what the vision is will help you not complain. Instead of putting your energy into complaining, you're putting your energy into making it so. Relationships, marriage, your job, your neighbor. What are the things you complain about? Your kids. I mean, just saying. What is the vision? Part of the reason you're complaining is you have no vision. We fall short because we don't do the necessary steps. So, complaining is an evil inclination. It's a misuse of the good things that God has given us. It becomes a thief and steals our identity in Christ. And then it's because we're not seeing what we're not seeing. We're not talking to God. Okay. Habakkuk complained to God. Does God have a complaint department? He must, because Habakkuk got through, I'm just saying. Right? And complaining to God is not what we're talking about. We're talking about when we complain, we're stiff-arming God. Right? And we're not allowing God into the equation. And we're just going to grumble and mumble about it. When we actually complain to God, we're doing something quite different. Saying, God, I don't like this. But then we have to do what Habakkuk did. We have to stop, stand our post, and say, okay, now speak to me in ways I can hear and understand so that I can get past my complaint. Acts 7:51, as they're looking back to the Old Testament, it says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, You always resist the Holy Spirit. That's complaining. When we're stiff-arming the Spirit of God, being active and moving in our life, we are putting ourselves in a place where we just grumble and mumble. As your fathers did, so do you. So just like they were doing it in the Old Testament, as they're preaching the gospel in the New Testament, they're speaking to the Jewish people saying, get off this. Stop doing this. We have done this now for generations and generations. It's time to stop stiff-arming the Spirit of God. Complainers stiff-arm God. So before we wrap things up here, confession time. Are we complainers or are we people of vision? Nobody can answer this question for you. Are you a complainer or are you a person of vision? Well, I'm both. No, you're not. To the degree that you're a complainer, you're not a person of vision. To the degree that we complain, we stiff-arm the Spirit of God and we're not putting our faith and trust in Him. So finally, we're also unaware that this is an unforgiveness issue. Two verses later in Philippians, Paul says, even if I am, and he's talking about in the present, this is ongoing action, this is something that's just a description of Paul's life. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. In other words, Paul says, I am just pouring my life out for you and your spiritual growth and in your relationship with Christ. I am emptying myself of everything that I am so that you can prosper spiritually. And quite honestly, you don't care. I might have added that to the text. But he says, even if it's true, is he going to complain about it? Or is he going to forgive them and still trust God for what's best for them? He says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Is he harboring resentment? No. Is he harboring unforgiveness? No. He is pouring his life out for others, and some really are appreciating it and growing and all that, but others don't even realize the sacrifice that he's making. I'm just saying, if you're here and you feel like Paul, like you're just putting your life out there and you're putting it out there and you're putting it out there, and all it feels like is nobody appreciates what you're doing. Don't let unforgiveness cause you to complain. Don't let it eat your lunch, take your identity in Christ, and ruin the direction of your life. People with auto-forgive, don't complain. I do think Paul had a button, push it, auto-forgive. Have you noticed you forgive easier than you used to? I mean, is it happening? We talk about forgiveness a fair amount around here. And we forgive because Christ forgave us first. Are we forgiving faster? Are we forgiving more automatically than we ever did before? If you're complaining, the answer would be not as much as you need to. If somebody really has hurt you at work and misrepresented you and spoken evil, wicked, mean, bad, nasty things about you, if you forgive them, you don't have to complain about them. And you can see them more the way Christ sees you and the way he sees them. Colossians 3:13. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you most likely should kind of oughta forgive. Is that what it says? No, it says you must forgive. The Greek word for that means must. Have to. No other choice. It's what you got to do. Let me read it again. If one has a complaint against another. So if you've got a complaint against somebody, you could mumble and grumble and does that make us feel better? It must make us feel better at some level or we wouldn't keep doing it. But if you have the complaint, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive each other. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to keep moving forward with this. You think today was challenging? We're not done yet. We are just getting rolling. Let's all stand for prayer and let God speak to us about our own complaining hearts. Lord God, as we prepare our hearts for worship, we know that you want what's best for us. Certainly, when we don't complain, we honor you, and the light that we are in the world points directly to you. As much as you deserve all the glory that you are due, it also shapes who we are. Lord God, we ask your forgiveness. We have complained far more than we've needed to, far more than would please you. We don't run to you as we should. We just mumble and grumble and stew. Lord God, may we be changed in these next few weeks. May our life be more yours than it was when we started this series. Your word changes who we are by your Spirit and with the help of your people. May the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God move forward in this place. We love you. We bless you. For anyone here, Lord, who doesn't know you, they can't even begin this journey without you. What makes this possible is not a rubber wristband. What makes this possible is your Spirit at work in us, confirming your word to our hearts, pointing out when we're falling short, and giving us the strength and the courage to walk in you in ways that please you. So, Lord God, speak to us as we worship you now. In Jesus' name.